Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gurz.
Hey.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Inazuma 11 movie, The Ultimate Force Team Ogre Attacks, aka Inazuma 11, Saikyo Gundan Ogre Jurai, a movie that came out in 2010. Inazuma 11 Victory Road just came out, so we're doing this for clicks. It was produced by OLM, the studio behind the Animal Crossing movie, and Ni No Kuni. Inazuma 11 movie, The Ultimate Force Team Ogre Attacks, currently has an Annie-list score of 71%. Inazuma 11 is a series of football games, manga, and anime, which began in 2008 and continue to this day. Literally, this episode comes out the same day that the latest game releases. The movie is based on the three versions of Inazuma 11 3, Lightning Bolt, Bomb Blast, and Team Ogre Attacks, which released on DS in Japan in 2010, and were remastered on the 3DS in the rest of the world in 2013. Okay, so technically Team Ogre Attacks released after the movie and was based more on the movie, with the other two having slightly different stories. My short synopsis is, everyone in the future loves football, but that's bad. So can the future be changed? Artura, what do you have?
Soccer's weakening the kids of the future, so an organization goes back in time to try to stop one of the most famous players from moving it forward.
And goes?
In the future, everything seems lost, but then you win the match anyway.
Right, with the long notes this time, it's Gurz, so take us into the movie.
We open on Endo Mamoru arriving at his new school, Raimon, and to his shock learning they don't have a football club. You would expect creating a club would be the main conflict of the film, but he gets a whole clubhouse and a bunch of members by the way of training montage. In the next scene, in a hilarious reverse of one-at-a-time group fight trope, we watch for 10 minutes as waves upon waves of ninjas descend upon a white-haired boy trying to land punches at the same exact time. But instead of knocking into each other, they are repelled with a single kick.
Yeah, that powerful kick definitely killed those closest to the foot, given how much it hurt those who were nowhere near the center of that ball.
We learn that the boy is being sent back in time by a bunch of Super M Bison brothers, Super Vega brothers in Japanese version, to kill the happy-go-lucky Mamoru in a football match before he can give birth to the leader of the resistance. That's kind of true. That was a joke I came up while I was writing it, and that's kind of true.
I mean, you're not wrong.
So, the name of this operation, this military operation, what did you guys hear?
I didn't catch anything.
Me neither. What did you hear?
Because in the dub, I rewound it a couple of times, and it sounded like he said Operation Cider Break. Even though in the subtitles it was Thunder Break or something. Cider Break.
Well, you know, so, football fans like the drink cider.
Yeah.
In the present, Mamoru can't motivate his club to play, so he goes to get some easy wins against elementary school kids and make himself feel better. He angers some bullies and is saved by a spiky-haired white boy. Wait, that's not right. A spiky white-haired boy. not spiky-haired white boy.
Who's playing that funky music?
Goenji, as canon, boy from the future, starts to observe the story from afar. Mamoru tries to recruit Goenji the next day, but fails. Then he learns that if he doesn't find more members and win against the strongest team in the world, Teikoku Academy, the club will be disbanded.
Okay, so with like three people say that they know about this rumor that the club's going to be shut down. How does... I didn't write his name down. The main character, I wrote down the dub name. It's Mark. His name is Mark Evans.
That's a horrible name. No.
That's a terrible name. But anyway, American kids can't speak Japanese. Yeah, how does everyone except for the main character know about this rumor that the club's going to get shut down?
I think the reality is that no one likes Mark. That's why he has to play with kindergartners, freaking Mark.
I mean...
Despite pestering students all day, Mamoru fails to find new members and goes to beat himself with a tire swing, saying it's a secret training he found in his senile grandpa's notebook. His club members feel sorry for Mamoru and decide to train with him. The club even gets new members, but it doesn't help them when Teikoku Academy pummels them by using illegal Pokemon moves during their match.
Okay, I have a couple of notes for things that that have just happened. He spends all day, as you say, trying to recruit people, and then it like goes back to these military guys in the future, and one of them says in the dub, Mark Evans has an ability to influence people. They've just watched him for hours being turned down by everyone he's spoken to. What do you mean?
He influences. He didn't have his demonic spell active at the time.
Yeah, they say he must have some kind of magic.
Look, after that scene, my canon is that Mark does have demonic powers and he really is evil. And we're just watching the story unfold of the bad guy ultimately winning until the end.
And then when the other team, Tenjoku Academy, they're being introduced and they're walking along a carpet. The sound effect is them walking on wood. Like, it wasn't just the dub. I checked the sub as well. The same sound effect. They're walking on wood, even though it's a carpet they just unfurled so they could walk on it.
It's a very old carpet.
And then, as you say, the only way, literally the only way to make football interesting is to put special moves in.
Well, you know, as I was watching this, I think it was near the end, I was like, why special moves? Why no ref that stops the special moves? Why shooting penguins at each other? And I'm like, when you're a child and you play football, there is no ref. Like, you just kind of manage it between each other. And you, like, if one of you throws a fireball, it's like, in a child's mind, yeah, of course, that's legal. Goenji decides to help, but is stopped by obvious fake of his little sister that he knows is in a coma, until he tries to bitch slap her, which works. With Goenji's help and some illegal Pokemon moves of their own, and Mamoru's giant mitten, they manage to score a goal. Teikoku forfeits.
And it's basically the end of the podcast.
Yes, thank
no,
you.
No, sorry.
We get a montage of 6 seasons of a TV show where Raimon trains and competes against many other teams, including psychics and cavemen swinging on jungle vines. That was literally what was happening.
That's not you making jokes. That is what we saw.
There were jungle vines. I'm not sure what they were attached to, but because they were playing a game outside, clearly.
The thing is, this takes place after the first season of the show, so like it's not, we're not supposed to watch this instead of the first season of the show. And yes, clearly these should have been like 3 episodes each match.
No, I cannot stand it. So many Pokemon moves in one episode.
It's still shorter than a single fight in Dragon Ball Z that takes like 15 episodes.
Yeah, which is what the final match of the movie would be.
Anyway, then we cut to Mamoru convincing a sushi chef who was a member of Legendary Inazuma 11 to be their couch. That's not right. Coach. Right before they have to play against Teikoku again in a district tournament. As the match starts, a bunch of steel beams fall on the field, but no one dies, so it's whatever. The game goes as expected, fire tornadoes and megaton punches. I figure the ref is afraid for his life, that's why they don't have one, and let the kids throw penguins at each other.
Yeah, I literally wrote, is there anything that the referees would stop the game for? Like tanks? Someone literally exploding?
Funny you mentioned that. Eventually, Raimon breaks through Teikoku's force field and scores some points, winning the game. Raimon goes on to compete in national tournament, but also Teikoku as last year district champion. After their first match, Raimon is training in an underground bunker. Why? When they hear the news that Teikoku lost their first match against Zeus Junior High, who blew up the whole stadium. Smart move. Raimon goes on to play their second match with captain of Teikoku, Kido, joining the team, but they can't break through a giant stone wall.
I'll allow it. But referee, they literally just built a stone wall in the way.
They said a Pokemon move before it. It's fair.
Armies of darkness and a bunch of builders come in and build a wall.
Yep, I'll allow it.
Mamoru makes a speech about them not needing a special technique and not giving up. Then they win by using a special technique. Eventually, Super and Bison Brothers send their ogre team from the future to beat Zeus Junior High and take their place in the finals against Raimon.
These generals in the future, why go through all this football nonsense? Why not just, like, shoot this kid? Drown him? Curb stomp him? Break his legs? Just, no, let's train some football kids and make them football at him.
I mean, the football kids that they send from the future seem to think that football is battle, not football. So that's probably what they think the war is in the future. And they're like, no, I don't know why they're so bad in the future. If we think that fighting equals kicking a ball, I don't know. Aliens invade them, they challenge them to a football match with Michael Jordan. In the first half, the ogre is the... That doesn't make any sense. In the first half, the ogre easily stops Raimon from finishing any attack attempts. A phase of a plan to spoil football for them!
Gasp.
In the second half, Raimon makes a comeback, but ogre kills their players with missiles. Smart move.
I'll allow it.
The reign of terror! And a tank comes out and shoots missiles. Ogre keeps using ever more destructive techniques. Even Mamoru summoning a glowing macho dude can't stop them from scoring. When Mamoru is the last player standing, at the last moment, Kanon, Mamoru's great-grandson from the future, makes his move and stops Ogre Captain Badab's black spin-whirling Benchohatsu technique from scoring. He joins the team along with five other guys he brought from overseas or something, I don't know.
So I like how in this part, at the beginning of the anime, in the tutorial fight, basically, against the first team, when the spike-haired white guy comes in, they're like, you weren't part of the team. And then the ref eventually, because the enemy team kind of allows it, the ref's like, okay, we'll allow it. But in the championships, six different players who were not part of the team pop up, and the ref's like, I'll allow it.
They said Pokemon moves.
There is no riff. They just make, like, the kids are, oh, they came from the sky, five guys. Of course they should join the opposing team. What else is going to happen? We're children. With their help, Raimon finally scores a goal. Things start to turn around, but Raimon struggles against the literal ogre protecting ogre's goal, and their players get bludgeoned with the ball. Everything seems lost when Badab is about to score again with his Shinken Patsu Baku Matsu Hatsu Datsu technique. But Raimon rallies, stops the ball, and performs a successful attack, scoring instead and taking the lead. Badab gets mad and shoots a mythical dragon demon bullet right at Mamoru, but he stops the shot with the biggest mitten yet as the time runs out, making Raimon the winner. Mamoru approaches Badab after the match and says they are all friends after the match. And what happened then? Well, in Inazuma they say that his heart grew three sizes that day, causing a condition called cardiomegaly, killing him soon after. That's the end of my notes.
Oh. Like there's a post credit scene.
Yeah, I didn't think it was very important to the plot, and I wanted to end on Card Omega.
Okay, my question. I don't know much about football, but is the goalie allowed to leave the goal area, run across the pitch, and score goals?
I think so. It's not encouraged, but as far as I'm aware, you can do it.
Because as we throughout the movie, we see Mark Evans score most of the goals, or as part of a duo or trio who are scoring said goal. Anyway, so was this a good adaptation?
It seemed to be.
No, the story is different. With the two games, it focuses on a different character, neither of them focusing on quote-unquote Mark Evans. And they start as like the Inazuma team of Japan, and in this movie they become the Inazuma team of Japan.
But there's multiple games, isn't there?
There's three versions of this game. You know, because you make games for kids on a handheld console, you have to make multiple versions. Nintendo proved that works. However, they do use the same technique over and over and over again. So, you know, that's something you do in the games. Just spam attacks that work.
Yeah, that's what they remind me of when I used to play Mario Strikers with my wife. And we would use like the strike attack that like is really difficult to block, until at one point we both got so angry we banned it and started playing Mario Strikers normally.
Why would you want to play it normally?
Because the strike attack was just overpowered and it wasn't fun, okay?
You should have just put up some brick walls.
How did I not think of that? Just say a Pokemon power move and call it a day.
So is it a Yata Nani or a Baka Arthur?
I want to say Nani for this one. I'm a big fan of soccer. I used to play it when I was younger. I kind of like the animation, the characters. But number one, the Pokemon abilities are, they just use the same one, and it kind of ruins the fun after a while. Number two, it was just weird. It's like I've watched two matches and also 58 all at once. Like the montages in between. By the end, I only recognized Evans because they added just a crap ton of other characters that I did not know. I did not know how they got there. It went from, oh, we can't keep the school club alive, to congratulations, you've entered the championship. And then suddenly, like, his great-grandson was there. And I really liked the message in the story. But the pacing and the skipping was just, shouldn't we have just skipped the tutorial beginning section and just focused on the championship and more if there was an anime that already went through in between? So that was my problem with it.
And Goose?
Oh, I thought it was a Yata. It was dumb, but and the pacing because of the skips wasn't great, but I wasn't too annoyed with it. And the animation was really good. So it was like, if you don't expect anything smart and you can kind of make fun of it, of how ridiculous it is, then yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was a back half for me. I found it boring. It was rushed. The pacing was too rushed. And there was loads of reused animation. Like, how many times did we see that kid kick
Godo with handle.
The blue dragon?
He had the blue dragon, the fire tornado. Yeah, that's one of the things that I was like, I don't like this.
Look, my favorite was the penguins. He just summons penguins.
That was reused twice.
It was reused.
In the same match.
But it was so funny to me. I don't know. I just had a different sense of humor, I guess. That made this work for me.
It wasn't trying to be funny, though.
It wasn't. That's what makes things funny sometimes, that they try to take something weird seriously.
penguins. Flying penguin. Anyway, does it deserve its annualist score of 71%?
Yeah, it's kind of high.
I'd say just for the quality of the animation is, I mean, like...
I completely agree with you. The animation, the quality and all that is really cute, but... Ugh. I wanted to like Inazuma 11 more than I did. To the merit of the anime, though, I do want to say that it did teach me why things like sports anime are famous. Because the... Like... I used to be like, just go watch like a fighting one because like the stakes are so low. But no, see, with the stakes being so low, the main characters can lose, and that's okay because if the main characters lose, no one dies. And it makes more sense when the villain kind of like becomes good, right? So to the merit of it, it did teach me why these anime work.
Okay, has watching this made you interested in picking up Inazuma 11 Victory Road?
Depending on how many Pokemon abilities there are. No, I'm kidding. No.
I mean, everyone has one. Even the funny little monkey guy has one.
No, honestly, I do like soccer. But the problem I'm facing here is the repeated animations and the repeated abilities, I feel, is very telling about how the game would play like. And... it's not my cup of tea. I think if anything, it probably pushed me further away from the game.
I feel like it would probably be a lot of other action between special moves, like having to set them up and getting the PP or whatever to use them. Charging up your power, whatever, power meter.
Yeah, so but $70?
Oh, I didn't even talk about the price. Just
£57.98.
Sorry, yeah. £57.98? No, I...
But, Artura, there are over 5,400 players to collect in this game.
Yeah, and they each have a different special move.
Okay, that's not too bad.
And they have still combo moves.
If you think, if you break it down, that's like 1,000 characters for $10. So,
I might consider playing it when it's at a huge discount.
I feel like. It's probably one of those games that are that know their niche and know that they are that they're like they have a comparatively small number of dedicated fans that 70 is definitely worth it for them. That's not related to me wanting to play the game, but I feel like that's probably okay.
No, see, I disagree with that even more because it's kind of abusive to the niche lovers because they're like, well, I mean, they'll buy anything we give them. And it's exclusionary to newcomers. So that's just worse for me.
I don't think it's like they're buying it. They're going to buy anything we give them. Is that they like this specific thing and we make this specific thing in the way that they will like. And it might not have a mainstream appeal. So kind of the price reflects it. I don't know. Because it might, you might still like spend a lot of money on development, if that makes sense. But you try to make this specific thing for your specific fan base. I don't know. It's. I'm not explaining very well what I'm thinking.
No, I get it. I just disagree with it with that perspective.
Anyway, if you want to check out Inazuma 11 Victory Road, it's available. Should be available before this podcast goes live. But who knows? They might delay it. They delayed it at short notice last time. It was supposed to come out. And yeah, there, it's not just football. You can walk around the school and interact with characters outside of football. So RPG stuff. But that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you for joining me, Gorz and Artura.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.